in Geneva, Switzerland, Iran's foreign minister Abbas Araghchi was saying part of discussions with the US envoy for the Middle East. We understand that there are a third round of talks. Both parties will now go back, etc. But all the while, the United States has actually been sending troops and warships to West Asia. Now, many would argue that Iran was duped last year to come to the negotiations table, and then the country was attacked. So some asking, should Iran not be wary of that, amongst others? Okay, that's not part of the discussion exclusively, but if we broaden it, we can ask, could that be the case? Let's hope that's not the case, because disastrous consequences, not only for West Asia, but globally. Mr. Donovan Williams, international relations analyst, expert, as well as Mail and Guardian columnist. Donovan, great to have you on the show. I know I've been missing, but I'm happy to be chatting to you again.
Wonderful to be chatting to you as well, MJ. Compliments of the new year, even if it's February, and even if I'm born in 1391 on the third Dhu'al Qida day. So it'll be cool. Okay. That's in my Islamic days.
Why did you say 1391? It's definitely not 1391. Come on. Way after that. Donovan?
Yeah.
What do you make? We know that Iran was brought to the negotiations table last year, and then many analysts actually argued, but hang on, the U.S. actually duped Iran, because then Iran was attacked. They were perhaps caught unawares, off guard. Maybe they are weary of it this time. So while talks are carrying on now, the latest round Geneva, but the U.S. continuing to send warships and troops to West Asia, what is that about?
Okay, look, it's very difficult to understand what these negotiations are exactly about. The one good thing that it's taking place in Geneva, which would mean that the chances of the U.S. bombing it, or Israel bombing the negotiators, like has happened before, are slim to none. So you wouldn't expect Geneva to be bombed. I don't know if the plane taking the Iranian negotiators will be safe.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't put that past them, but you have had so on one level, there's talks taking place. What the exact talks about is very difficult to discern, even the agenda. From the side of Iran, at all times, they have to maintain that they are open to discussions without losing their sovereignty. And at the same time, Trump is trying to make certain he doesn't have a war, because he can't handle a war right now. But it is a matter of maintaining a level of danger for Iran so that it keeps China on its toes. But remember that's Trump responded. You did have Saudi Arabia and Qatar and so forth sending their bombs to knock off the Iranian responses, if you recall, the drones that came through and so forth. So they pierced the Israeli Iron Dome, but is it enough? It means those jabs were to try to make certain that they could assess Iranian response as well as the extent of it. Then at the same time, so what I'm basically arguing is about, this is just the pre-dance in a way.
Yeah.
In very many ways. Then at the same time, we know the protests that occurred in January. We know that it was, prompted by, agents and so forth from the U.S. and Israel.
Yeah.
And you have, various political factions. And yes, the overwhelming majority of people weren't in favor of the violent protests and that, but there is affordability crisis. There is a cost of living crisis in Iran due to the sanctions itself. And that is going to grow. And the response of the Iranian government went from one level trying to, make certain they don't get caught into a trap by being too harsh towards their citizens, and at some stage, possibly being too harsh, but you didn't know who was who. Who was an agent or a provocateur, and who was genuinely protesting. But the Iranian people, in the way they came out, I think they helped a lot in trying to maintain a level of sanity for the Iranian people. So right now, these negotiations, in my opinion, it's negotiations to make certain that Iran shows that they're cooperative. So in other words, do not give an excuse for more bombing. We still don't know the extent of the nuclear program. Is it energy or is it actual arms? But there's a good argument now for Iran to argue that they are facing a nuclear armed opponents in both the US and Israel. So therefore, they have a right to have nuclear arms. If that nuclear arms is arms they run, or it's the Cuban option where you have Russian or Chinese bases in Iran. Mm. And that's something that may not have come yet to the negotiations table, but it could be a side-level discussion that can be taking place. That's speculation on my part, because Iran will be discussing about their sovereignty and their sovereignty being ignored. And the U.S. will be speaking not from the side of Israel, but saying, we do not want you to have a nuclear program, and we will not accept that the U.N., investigating like in years before under Obama and so forth. We want to, as the U.S. because remember, Trump doesn't accept the United Nations in real terms, right? And so therefore, it's a might is right game, and we are the mightiest, and therefore we wish to check. And if they do that, it means they begin to remove the influence or diminish the influence of both China and Russia on Iran. So I've tried to give you as many levels as possible, MJ, and the listeners as well, because these talks are just talks, as you like, treading water in many ways. I don't see it as real negotiations.
Mm. What I've noted also, Don, and I would like you to engage here, there's certainly also a push by the U.S. Perhaps the push is being prompted by apartheid Israel, where the U.S. is pushing for limitations to be placed on Iran's missile ballistics capacity, wanting the range to be restricted to, I think, like 300 kilometers. But the Iranian foreign ministry have argued if that is the case and Israel perhaps attacks Iran, their limited range would then mean that they are hamstrung immediately. Is there a strong case for this too?
Look, basically, if we go back to Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction, the more and more Saddam Hussein and his government cooperated with the West and demilitarized itself, removed its military capacity, it allowed itself to be invaded, simply put. So I will draw that analogy. Iran will not demilitarize. It's got military threats. It's got, they're never going to agree. It's not about just reaching Israel. American warships came, and hit them. So that's why I'm saying there will be discussions, and that depends how far the Russians. It's difficult because they're fighting a war with Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
But it can work both ways, because a Russian base on Iran can reach Ukraine as well.
Yeah,
but so that's my analytical point. That's my speculation. That I'm saying I am sure there are discussions to say, how do we defend ourselves where we can get military strength? All right, and remember, Iran's got what right now what both China and Russia requires. That's oil, because of Venezuela and the throttling of Greenland. It's as well. Not just fuel, that's other minerals. So in reality, and also I'll add, that's why you had the military operation by the US in Nigeria. That's also oil. And that's keeping supply away from China.
Yeah.
Right? That's keeping supply away from China. So Iran has to look cooperative while it tries to make certain it gets the military hardware that can protect it. And launch an attack, and what is basically preemptive, that what basically you defend yourself by showing that you have weapons that can attack. That's how the Cold War was. That's why you had the arms race, all right? So it's basically going to say to the US that tell us why we can't. That's what you kind of have. Why shouldn't we go and get arms? Like, as you were saying, that we are not going, we must have missiles that can attack Israel, but also the US. So if you're not going to allow us to do that, you are the ones bombing us, no one else. You know, We're not bombing anybody else. But remember, it is the specter that was used with Saddam Hussein, which is being used by now, and it's a racist specter that basically says, look here, we can trust other people with arms. We can trust Netanyahu or Israel with arms, but we can't trust you, Iran. Why? No, because we can't trust you.
Mm.
Right? And if you prod it, you find out, no, it's because you're not white. You're not Western. You're not good enough to be able to have those arms. We can't trust you.
Mm.
That's the sad part of the affair. And so the U.S. will continue doing this while it also recovers itself. It'll most probably use an attack on Iran at some stage when Trump requires it for electoral purposes.
Yeah, some justification and substantiation. Yeah, yeah. But I've just seen comments about 45 minutes ago. Iranian foreign minister was speaking to Al Jazeera. Abbas Araghchi told Al Jazeera that the path for a deal has started with the U.S. after the second round of nuclear talks just concluded in Geneva. Araghchi also told Al Jazeera that Tehran and Washington have reached an understanding on the main principles. But here's the concerning part, Don. Maybe we can end on this. He says that we've reached an understanding on the main principles of an agreement, which are very serious discussions. However, he concluded saying there are still major issues that have not been resolved yet, which could clear the path for a third round of talks.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying, you're not really in negotiations. So the main path to negotiations will be the agreement that we must sit and negotiate, and we respect each other, and we respect each other's sovereignty, and so forth. So in that time, Iran won't attack Israel, and Iran has never really attacked Israel. It's defended itself from Israel.
Yes.
But that would be the nature, right? And at the same time, and Israel is part of these talks, that the U.S. will agree that that they will continue to talk with Iran. Not necessarily that they will agree with Iran's sovereignty and what it really means. So that's what I'm essentially saying. So all that diplomatic speak is saying what I'm saying in this way. But Iran is clever enough to say, its foreign minister is clever enough to say, yes, the talks are going good, because that's Trump's ego as well.
Yeah.
Remember, Trump must show that, yes, he's brought Iran to heel. A country that has not actually attacked them.
Yeah.
Or threatened them. But remember, Zimbabwe is into the second round and Australia is out. So it's all still good.
It's all still good. We may just be on an even keel. Let's leave it there. Donovan Williams, international relations analyst and Mail and Guardian columnist. As always, Don, thanks so much for your time and PM Drive.